This is Radio Influence.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Forking Around Town podcast. I'm your host, Tracy, and today I'm joined by one of my favorite friends and fellow Steeler lover, Mr. Kurt Lorden. How are you, Kurt?
I'm amazing. Good morning.
You're tired. I can tell.
I'm very tired. Extraordinarily tired. Drinking my Mountain Dew because I didn't have time to make coffee this morning.
Yeah, I'm just going to call you John Klein. I still can't get into the Mountain Dew thing. I need to try it before.
No, it tastes horrible, but it has so much sugar and caffeine in it that it just wakes you up.
I gotcha. Yeah.
I mean, it's no different than like the Celsius and all the other energy drinks that you drink.
I've been hooked on Bang lately. Do you ever drink those?
No, but that there's so many jokes there.
Well, go ahead. But you know what? I have to say, I love Celsius. It's been one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. But I was introduced to Bang probably 3 months ago. They actually came by the restaurant where I work, mm-hmm. and they have what they're called their Tampa Bangers or North Florida Bangers. And they go around to different restaurants and they drop off a ton of samples. They've got some great flavors, and I'm getting a little bit hooked on them. But
where can you buy them?
Oh, you can get them at any convenience store, Publix. I mean, they're everywhere.
I will try that when I leave here.
Yeah, if you like Dr. Pepper, they have a black cherry vanilla.
I love Dr. Pepper. Diet Dr. Pepper is actually my favorite soda.
Okay, well, you would like the black cherry.
Perfect.
Vanilla. And there's no carbs in there. They're great for getting a little boost of energy. Just, it's better than Mountain Dew.
Okay. Listen, I'll take your word for it. I just said earlier that it tastes horrible.
Yeah. I'm actually hoping to somehow work with Bang because I've been actually drinking a lot of them since I just started to get back into running again. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow I've got the peanut butter and jelly run in Clearwater. I'm doing a 15K tomorrow. I'm excited. It'll be the longest race I've done since my foot injury last year. So or actually this year was January.
I don't know. I'm not a runner. I don't, so
well, you know, I like it's my free time. And
it is
it
your free time. You enjoy it. You
peanut,
enjoy it.
Yes,
you,
lots of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and Clearwater Beach, and I'm going to have a good time.
You collect your medals?
I do collect my medals. I'm proud of them. And this one is a scratch and sniff medal. So
like the stickers back in the day?
Apparently so. I will let you know how it is when I get it.
God, I miss those stickers. Those stickers were fun. Like the gel ones where you'd push on like dinosaurs or whatever and they change different colors.
Right. Right.
We go off on tangents.
It's okay. But anyway, today I actually asked Kurt to join me because him and I have a lot of things in common aside from our love for the Pittsburgh Steelers, which we're not going to talk about them today.
No.
It's not food related.
We don't have long enough.
We don't have long enough, exactly. But, you know, Kurt and I have both been in the hospitality industry. I believe you kind of grew up in it a little bit. Your dad owned a restaurant.
Yeah, my dad owned a restaurant my entire life.
Okay. So I'm kind of in the same boat. My dad, you know, he was in the restaurant industry for many years. I think he stopped when I was probably in second or third grade. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up in it. It was always a part of my life. Ever since I can remember, he would put me in the kitchen and put me to work. Every time he would entertain people at home, it was like a big theatrical production. Everything had to be perfect. He would have me type up little menus. I learned how to fold napkins into all kinds of crazy designs, and everything had to be perfect. And I think because of him, and he's very old school, mm-hmm. it kind of shaped my work ethic. Mm-hmm. And I've been working in restaurants since I was 16.
Right.
Did I ever tell you where my first restaurant job was? And I can't really call it a restaurant, but you're going to laugh.
No, but this should be entertaining.
Okay. So it was, first of all, it was in San Jose, California, and it was Little Caesar's Pizza. But let me tell you why I got that job, because this is funny.
Okay.
So I was 16 years old, and at the time, it was kind of cool for kids my age to have house parties where everyone would come over.
Enough.
And I went to a lot of them, but I have to say, and this is 100% true in case my parents are listening, I never drank. Like I was really good. None of us ever drank. We would listen to music and eat pizza, and it was so innocent. But I wanted to kind of skip the summer family vacation of going to Utah because it was just, I was bored.
Okay.
Which is funny. I used to think Utah was boring. Now I love it. But anyway, so I got a job just so that I could have an excuse not to have to go on the family trip and stay home alone. So one of my neighborhood friends was working at Little Caesars. He said, hey, they're hiring. So I walked over there. I'll never forget. The manager's name was Mano. Yes, it was Mano, but it was spelled M-A-N-O.
Okay.
I believe he was Filipino. And he looked at me and he said, the only job I have is a dishwasher. Now, you think dishwasher, Little Caesars, it doesn't make sense.
Correct.
But they go through a lot of like pizza pans because mm-hmm. they had like a deep dish style and
yeah, back in the round day.
And all kinds of stuff. So I think I lasted 3 days washing dishes. It was awful. The pans were just coated with dough and nastiness. And some of the people that worked there left something to be desired. But one day I made a pizza and my pizza was beautiful. And he was like, you're really good at that. And of course, because my dad, we were always making right. pizzas at home. So anyway, that's how I got my start. I quickly made it up to supervisor. And then that kind of paved my way for working in the restaurant industry, which I am still in to this day. So it's been quite some time.
Yeah, my entrance into the restaurant business wasn't nearly as eloquent.
No?
No, I moved from Ohio down to Fort Myers, and I was 13. My dad had a restaurant, and I'm fairly certain he probably broke most child labor laws, but I was 13, brand new school, and I sat in a room similar to the size of the room we're in right now.
Okay.
And the restaurant was called Damon's, and they had this onion loaf, which basically was full onion rings put in a loaf and deep fried.
That sounds incredible.
It was amazing. But as a 13-year-old kid, I was sitting there in a room, windowless room, with like 6 Lexons of sliced onions. And my job was to pop them into individual rings. So not only was it monotonous and boring, but then I became the smelly kid at school that constantly smelled like onions because, you know, 6 hours a day after right. school, I'd be sitting there popping onions. So then obviously I moved into different areas as I got older. But yeah, that was where I cut my teeth. In the restaurant biz.
Now, just out of curiosity, did they affect your eyes? Because I have major sensitivity to onions.
I mean, that was almost 30 years ago now. So I'm assuming probably in the beginning, but then you got used to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, well yeah. I think I only lasted a short time at Little Caesars. I moved on to a place called Fresh Choice, which is like a Sweet Tomatoes out here in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And then I really wanted to get into the real money and become a server. So I worked at a place called Chevy's Mexican Restaurant. I don't know if they had that out here on the East Coast.
They do. Actually, they have one out in Orlando.
Everything's in Orlando.
Everything
I've
is in Orlando.
I've noticed that. It's kind of like the melting pot of chain restaurants.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Right? Well, after Chevy's, because I had a taste of making that cash every day, mm-hmm. I went out. I actually bought, by myself, I think I was 19 years old. I went to a car dealership. I bought a car. Mm-hmm. Just without my parents knowing, it was pretty funny. A brand new car, put like $2,000 down, and it was yeah, my parents.
Well, and that's
happy.
The funny thing. You know, we were talking the other day just about kind of the restaurant industry and you know, the things that kind of annoy us. And you're right, the work ethic aspect of it is gone way downhill. People don't realize how much money you could actually make in the restaurant business if you're just nice and do your job.
You're right. And I think for me, we're going to talk about just, you know, restaurants and people's work ethic. It makes me sad to see that there has been a little bit of a decline. But at the same time, don't get me wrong. I was just at a place today picking up some pastries for a friend of mine. And the girl that was working there was incredible. She was so sweet and knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. It actually blew me away of how great and pleasant she was this morning. Because usually people are so grumpy in the morning.
Oh,
so
yeah.
She was awesome. But yeah, I've noticed that. I feel that 20 years ago was so different than it is today. And people are just lazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's smartphones. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and you might see one of the staff members just sitting at a table on their phones or eating?
All the time.
That is why eating, I can't.
No, you eat behind in the back of the restaurant. You don't eat right there in front of everyone else. So I don't know. It's just boggles my mind. I really do not sit at tables anymore. Like when I go out to eat, I'll either sit at a high top in the bar or at the bar itself mm-hmm. because it's better service. There's more conversation. And mm-hmm. I can't remember the last time I've had a dynamic server. And I'd rather go to a place with good service and average food than great food and poor service.
I'm the same
all day
way.
Long.
I always go to places based on whoever's working there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been that way all my life. I mean, I would go to the same restaurant over and over again, not necessarily because the food was so outstanding. It was just because I love the staff and they made me feel like family.
Right.
And I think that comes from growing up in the restaurant industry and just being a part of it. I really identify with anyone that works in hospitality. I feel like I have a special bond with them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times where I've gone to places and I am just made to feel like I'm bothering them.
Yeah.
And I hate that feeling.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm here so you could bring me food. Sorry to put you out.
Right. So, yeah. So first, let's kind of chat about as customers, because I work in hospitality, but I eat out a lot. I've eaten out 6 times this week and we're only on Friday. So there you go. It gives you an idea of a typical week for me. Now, what are some of the things that you've noticed recently when dining out? And it doesn't we're not just talking about Tampa. We're talking about everywhere because this is universal.
I mean, really, it's just it's basic attitude. You know, there's the people just aren't very pleasant when they come to the table. There really isn't a smile. There isn't like that bubbly. I mean, I guess they maybe don't realize it's technically a sales job. And then also just lack of detail. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, now I can't quantify it because I haven't written down, but now I'm going to start, just how often the orders are incorrect, the temperature's wrong. You know, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, just even in the back of the house, just the way the plate's presented is just, it's just like, let's just slap this steak or burger on this plate and bring it out. I mean, I guess maybe we started eating kale, so they stopped using it as a garnish. I don't know. I don't know where all the garnishes went.
it's so funny you say that. I remember when I worked at that place called Fresh Choice, we had, I mean, it was a salad bar, but we had the dessert bar, as you called it. And it was just one of those little islands with ice, you know, and you would like, there was little spaces for the bowls to go in with like fruit and stuff. And kale was one of the, what we would put around the bowls of fruit and pudding because it was it was to decorate.
I can still.
We didn't think of eating it back then.
No, not at all. And my dad's like a 6'5" Irishman and his voice is like 10 times deeper than mine. He's like Barry White, but Irish.
That's funny.
But I remember when I would work Friday and Saturday nights as a busser, and we used to do tray service. So it wasn't like the bus tubs. It was, you know, we had our trays and he would be in the kitchen. He'd be screaming at the waitresses or the wait staff, get that kale on that plate. And I'm like, bro, now we eat it.
Bro, you called your dad bro?
I always call my dad bro.
That's fine.
Bro or pops, one of the two. But yeah, it's just weird. It's odd. It's the evolution of kale, I guess. We could probably have an entire episode on that.
Well, definitely, though, living in Tampa, there has been such just an enormous amount of restaurants that are opening. That sounds funny, enormous amount. See, I need some more coffee today. But no, it seems like every minute there are restaurants opening, and I've gone to a lot. In fact, last night, I have to say, blown away, Anchor and Brine, which is located in the Tampa Marriott Waterside.
I saw your Instagram post. I wanted to eat my phone. The pictures were so good and appetizing.
Well, they haven't officially opened yet, and the servers are definitely new, and they're still learning everything, but they were phenomenal. I have to say, they were so happy and smiley. I felt like I was at someone's house last night having dinner, and every dish that was brought out was just gorgeous. I know it was a media dinner, but you can just tell that's how things are going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to settle for anything less. And that is what I think is so important. Now, there's another couple of places in Tampa that have been around for quite some time. And I've noticed a little bit of a difference when I go in there. I know a place that you frequent. We're not going to say the name. But you ever go in there and you just feel like, okay, 8 years ago, it was at a certain level and now it's just gone down. But why? It's still the same people that are going there, but what is the reason for that? And that's just something that's really kind of been fascinating to me lately is studying spots that have been around for quite some time. And why are places open for 10 years that maybe the service and, you know, the presentation of their dishes has declined versus places that, you know, have been around for 30 years and their standards are still the same? Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, taking it from a different perspective, you know, a lot of it boils down to ownership and the leadership that's placed within that organization and how they hold their staff accountable and, you know, motivation. I mean, look, we've both been in the service industry. It is a grind. We're not saying it's an easy job by any stretch of imagination. I mean, the hours are long. You're on your feet, you know, your wrists hurt, your back hurts, you know, you're dealing with, you know, customers that might be disgruntled or loud and, you know, loud and cackling or drunk and belligerent. So we're not placating, you know, it's not an easy job. And if you don't have someone motivating you and pushing you and incentivizing you and driving you, you're going to have those bad days. So a lot of it boils down to, you know, the higher ups. And sometimes the owners just don't care. They're like, I've put in hard work because managing is, you know, I never saw my dad. I mean, I basically raised myself. He worked 90 hours a week.
Right. That's how it is.
Yeah.
That's
so it definitely can take its toll on someone. So I think that's pretty much the main thing.
Right. Yeah. It's been something that's been on my mind for quite some time. I mean, like I said, I eat out so much and there are just places that have really just kind of made me wonder, why are they still open and mm-hmm. why are people still going there? But then again, on the flip side, when you work in a restaurant, I think that sometimes if someone has never worked in hospitality, mm-hmm. they can be difficult sometimes to deal with, especially, you know, they feel that they can talk to you however they want.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely a customer service aspect to hospitality that some people completely swing and miss on. So, but people keep going back to the place in question. You know, I go there, I rarely eat there, but I go there because of the people. Mm-hmm. And
the place in question. Yes, we don't have to say it.
No, but I mean, that's why, because you said earlier, you alluded to earlier, we keep going back to these establishments because of the people that work there or the people that frequent there. And it almost becomes kind of a fraternal, you know, fraternal order.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've met some of my best friends just hanging out, you know, at restaurants and sports bars and watching, you know, games together and all that other fun stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the spots I worked at back home in San Jose was a hotel. I worked in the bar or / cocktail lounge for 6 years. It was right before I moved to Tampa. And I met some people there that to this day are still my friends, which I think is pretty cool that we keep in touch.
What's the difference between a cocktail lounge and a bar? I've always wondered that.
You know, I don't know. I guess when
if you toss a couch, well, it's like all of a sudden a lounge.
A lounge is more like a living room feel to it. California fireplaces.
So my living room is a cocktail lounge.
It could be.
Interesting.
You should put a neon sign in your,
always
in your
open.
Window. Always open. Invite Karen.
No. No, but I am looking forward to Hurricane Karen. That should be entertaining if it ever forms.
We need to explain to listeners about Karen, who is someone that we both know.
Have at it.
No, I'm gonna let you. First of all,
she's a very eccentric individual who is awesome. She's very entertaining, but she's very eccentric.
She's known all over South Tampa.
She is known all over South Tampa. She is definitely known. You can see her in her pizza towel or her watermelon towel. I mean, it's kind of, she's almost reaching the level of the shoe licker in Ybor and the governor of Ybor, the guy that dresses up in the onesie bikini or whatever. And then obviously the shoe licker is pretty much aptly named. He licks people's shoes. He's still around. I was asking a buddy of mine who owns a restaurant down there.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I was a victim.
What? Yes. Okay. Tell me. I did not know this.
This is years ago. I was at First Chance, Last Chance, and I had just recently purchased these brand new Aldi's the grocery store, Aldo, which is the shoe store. Big difference. And I was very proud of them. I mean, super proud. And dude walks in and he's like, "Hey man, I really like your shoes. Do you mind if I get a closer look?" I'm like, "Absolutely. Yeah. I'm a couple cocktails deep. Why not?" And from heel to toe, all tongue. I'm like, "Oh, come on, man." And then he just ran.
That is disgusting and disturbing. I don't even know what to say.
Very disturbing.
Really?
Yes. I can still to this day, like, feel like it was, it's bad. It was really, I should have probably gone to therapy.
What did you do to your shoe after? Did you throw them away?
Why would I throw away if you licked the bottom of my shoe? I mean, it's not like the streets of Ybor.
The bottom?
Yeah.
I thought you meant like the side. Okay.
No. From, yeah, the very bottom. It was horrendous. It was very disturbing. Weird. So, no, I kept the shoes, man. Are you serious?
Has he ever been arrested?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't even know his name. I just know he has an afro, or he used to.
Okay. It's kind of,
I'm fairly certain the listeners didn't know we were going to go in that direction.
No, that's okay. That's interesting, though, because it kind of has to do with hospitality. What about, like, the ice cream liquor, too?
The ice cream liquor?
There was somebody that was going into, like, grocery stores and taking ice cream and taking the lid off and licking it and putting the lid back on.
That's just horrible. No, I've never heard of that. No, I'm not going to buy ice cream.
But have you ever noticed that all these stories are always in Florida?
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of interesting individuals from Florida. I think most states just deport them to us.
That's so funny. I actually picked up a shirt the other day that says Florida, a sunny place for shady people.
Yes.
I had to get it. It was too funny. It was too funny. But yeah, also, so like, coming like on the other side of the conversation, when you
we got off topic.
No, it's fine. That's what this is all about. We're having fun. When you work in hospitality, mm-hmm. I can honestly say I've been doing it since I was 16. So almost 30 years. We're not going to.
Almost.
Almost. I'm still a few years away. So that gives everyone an idea of how old I am. Don't want to say it out loud. That's okay. 44. Got it. 44. I'm proud. But I've been through and seen a lot. I've met celebrities. I mean, waited on them. I've got some great stories. I mean, all of which are primarily from California. One of the coolest people I ever met was Pat Morita. Remember?
The Karate Kid guy?
Yes.
Mr. Miyagi?
Yes. Yes, this was in the hotel that I worked at in downtown San Jose. And he was part of it was a kid show called Kangarate. So it was like a giant kangaroo that did karate. But it was...
I am going to try to find a shirt on eBay for that show. That is amazing.
It was great. And it involved some of the, you know, former 49er players at the time. I can't remember. I don't want to mess it up. But it was, anyway, he walked in one day and I was like, it was just one of those things. You're in shock. You're like, right. Mr. Miyagi. And he would come in every night. He was staying at the hotel because I guess they were filming nearby. And he's actually from that area too, which is interesting. But he would just sit at the bar and he was so nice. And he would order. He goes, I just want your cheapest Chardonnay. And that's all they would have. Mm-hmm. And he would talk to us and he was so cool and so down to earth. I mean, it was amazing. So he's definitely one of my favorite people that I've ever met. Let's see, Brooke Shields, I met her.
Ooh.
She was really nice. Her and her husband were in town for a show featuring Donny Osmond. I forget the name of the show. I think it was Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, if I recall correctly. Anyway, tons of NFL players. Joe Montana was definitely one of the nicest people I ever met. Ronnie Lott, Jerry Rice. I mean, of course, all 49ers. A couple of baseball players. Just, I mean, there's been so many. It's hard to think of all of them. But
yeah,
I never had a celebrity that upset me. Mm-hmm. Every single one, I mean, I'm very lucky. Everyone was super nice. But I did have my fair share of just crazy people. I saw a lot of crazy stuff. You have to also think of the time when I worked. This was during the kind of the dot-com era when, you know, everything was booming.
Oh, yeah.
So people had crazy money.
Mm-hmm.
I made $1,000 off of one table one night. I had this gentleman who actually his website is very well known. And I guess he's the founder of this e-commerce website. And it was funny because they were all drinking. He probably had six guys with him and they were drinking Hennessy Richard, which was at the time was $120 for a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's a lot more now. Mm-hmm. But every time they would order a round, they would get six of them. And then he would tip me $100 on every round. It was just, here you go. And he used to say, done deal. It was really funny. But I had some great times. I saw some crazy, crazy stuff. I could go on. I could do a whole podcast on interesting things that I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, it's, I could write a book on it. I mean, thinking back on all this stuff. But to this day, I'm always still bothered by people that are disrespectful to people in the hospitality industry, especially if they're giving good service.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why that is. I've had people talk down to me. I've had people look at me and say, this is your job. Didn't you go to college?
Right.
Crazy.
And, yeah.
And
so,
hurtful.
And for all you ladies out there, dating tip 101, if the man that you're with is disrespectful to wait staff, he's probably not a good person. So
absolutely.
You know, it's just, that's just how if you're not going to treat everyone with respect, I get it. Yeah, I've seen it. It's horrible. Even bad service, you shouldn't treat someone with disrespect.
No, you just keep your mouth shut and just, note to self, okay, mm-hmm. I'm not going to maybe give this person a stellar tip or anything.
Right.
Even on bad service, I'll still tip 15%.
Well, yeah, you should. I mean,
it's just, it has to be really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really bad.
I don't think I've ever tipped less than 10 for bad service.
I hate, I've had people leave zero and I don't know. I'm probably going to get into a lot of trouble for saying this, but like, I don't understand why people just super nice. You think everything's great, and then you look at your credit card slip, and there's a big zero.
Mm-hmm.
Don't understand that.
Yeah.
Just.
I mean, people that do that probably have already gone out with the idea in their head that they're not going to tip, mm-hmm. because unless someone spills food all over you, sits on your lap, lays on the table,
and tries to lick your food.
Yeah, tries to lick your food or your shoe. And the silverware is dirty and you're basically eating out of a garbage can. There's really no reason to not tip someone something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it still happens to this day. And I think one of the things that I've always really wanted to kind of really, I don't know, I would love to do like a whole show on this. I mean, it would be great. But just getting people to understand that just because you work in hospitality doesn't make you any less of a person. And I know that sounds extreme to say that, but
I've seen
some stuff. I mean,
well, the funny thing is there's a ton of money to be made in the service industry.
Yeah.
You know, when I was 16 or 17, one of the two, I was a busser at my dad's restaurant. I made like 20 grand as a 17-year-old, mm-hmm. You know? And I mean, there's waiters and waitresses in the Tampa Bay area that I know make six figures.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely. I have a good friend of mine who's been at his spot for years and he probably makes over, he makes like 100 grand a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's always a, you know, it's always a stepping. So like when I went and got my sommelier certification, there was, I don't know, maybe 70 people in the class. And I obviously was the only one not in the hospitality, mm-hmm. but there were a lot of bartenders and waitresses and waiters that mm-hmm. were looking to take the next step in the service industry, either getting into management, opening up their own shop, something mm-hmm. along those lines. So, you know, for someone to say it's a lesser job is, you know, that's unfortunate. And a lot of it probably has to do with there's some bad waiters and bad waitresses and bad bartenders out there mm-hmm. that, you know, kind of, you know, ruin it for everyone
right.
else.
Right. But then again, that also goes, that goes back down to ownership. I mean, mm-hmm. if you own a restaurant, I mean, every single person that works for you should be on the same page. Mm-hmm. And if you ever get a complaint about somebody, it should be addressed and corrected immediately. And if it can't be corrected, then, you know, that person is definitely not the right fit mm-hmm. for your establishment. Mm-hmm. Sadly, there are, you know, there are some owners out there that are distant, that aren't involved, and they get those bad reviews, but they don't really try to do anything to remedy them.
Right.
I see it all the time.
And an owner can be removed and not involved in the day-to-day. They just have to empower certain people mm-hmm. to, you know, have a GM that is paid based off of profitability, you know, have mm-hmm. a head waitress that is compensated on her staff as far as upsales, you know, a head bartender, you know, compensated additionally for, you know, drink upsells. And that's going to motivate those individuals to further train their staff and, you know, make sure that they're selling the right product and, you know, the specials and, you know, making sure that profit margin there. It is a business after mm-hmm. all, guys, you know, and every person in that establishment is a key component of making that business work, from kitchen staff to bar backs to, you know, waiters, waitresses, mm-hmm. bartenders across the board.
Yes, and that's where like product knowledge really comes in handy. If mm-hmm. someone has a certain allergy or anything, I mean, as you know, you have to be a responsible vendor, and not mm-hmm. I'm not just talking about when it comes to things like obviously alcohol, but
right.
just knowing if someone has a dairy intolerance or a gluten allergy, I mean, you have to take it seriously.
Oh yeah, and please, if you're out there, eat the food at the restaurant. Like just try it. I went to a restaurant the other day and I was deciding between two dishes.
Right.
And both were just phenomenal and I wasn't sure. And I said, well, you know, can you please explain, you know, tell me a little bit about these dishes.
Oh, you're talking about the server didn't know.
Yeah. Like no clue. He's like, I've never tried. I go, how long have you worked here? He goes, about a year. I'm like, well, you've never tried stuff on the menu. So, I mean, the food was phenomenal, but I was a little shocked that he didn't try his own, you know, his own product.
Well, I haven't worked for a restaurant that does tastings, or, you know, that doesn't do tastings in quite some time. That didn't sound right. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah.
See,
we need to get you another bang.
I need some more. No, I had one bang at 5 this morning. It's time for another one. But no, I...
Your second bang for the day.
Right, my second one. No, I've worked in so many restaurants where, especially if there is an executive chef, you yeah. have, you know, a staff lineup and you go over the specials and whatever the special dish is of the night. Mm-hmm. They make one and mm-hmm. everyone looks at it and you all taste it so you can describe it. And they give you quizzes on it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like being in school. I mean, you should know everything that's in there, because the last thing you want to do when a customer has a question about a dish is to have to go ask.
Right.
You know, some things I get it if it's a certain ingredient that you might not know, but just the basics.
And it doesn't need to be a five-star, you know, or a Michelin star restaurant to have that type of managerial style. I mean, a beach restaurant with a special should be treated the exact same way, in my opinion.
It's funny you say that. A month ago, I was at Clearwater Beach, and there was a little spot called Extreme Pizza. Now, you know me, I'm always looking for pizza. It was late night. I was hungry, just something quick and easy. And I have to say, it was an extremely casual place. But the server that night, she was outstanding. I mean, she was on point. I mean, she didn't miss a beat. And when it came to describing some of the pizzas, because you know me, there was like 30 different gourmet selections. I couldn't decide which one. I mean, she sold me on the one that I actually wanted just because she had it. And when she described it, I was like, I want it.
Yeah.
And it was great. And she was probably 18.
Mm-hmm.
I was really impressed with her. And it was nice. It was refreshing to see someone so young, so into their job and just excited and wanting to make
that pride in what you do.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter if you're, you know, whatever profession you're in.
I know I was at a spot recently getting some ice cream. And so anyway, I remember I went up, ordered my stuff, paid for it. And then the girl said, do you want anything else? I said, well, I'm going to get some to take home, but I have to wait and see what my kids want. So after I was done, I could see the girls sitting in the back room just on their phones, not out front, not paying attention. So I literally stood outside for 15 minutes waiting for them to come out. And I didn't want to be that person, but I had to say, hey, because it was just, they were just cared more about their phones than helping me. It was crazy.
Maybe we should start a restaurant where it's just text to order. Just text your server. Can I please have item 7, medium rare, please? And then it'll pop up and they'll walk over.
Well, no, I have to. Okay. So real quick, I know we'll start to wrap this up, but I want to ask your opinion on like Uber Eats and all of those delivery services. Like, have you ever ordered them and what are your thoughts? Because
I have ordered from them. I mean, it's convenient, but I mean, it's a little bit overpriced and, you know, obviously, I don't know. It's just like getting takeout. You know, takeout doesn't taste the same. You know, if I get a burger to go, it tastes completely different than if I get a burger at a restaurant. And that's the same thing with anything else. I mean, I think basically pizza and Chinese food are the only foods that taste exactly the same if you get it delivered to your house or if you eat it, you know, in the place. But I don't know. I'm kind of indifferent. Now, Instacart, where they deliver your groceries, that's something completely different. That's a whole another topic. That is amazing.
I haven't tried it.
It's incredible. One, like all the coupons are built in, so you don't have to clip coupons. And you don't have that impulse buy. So, you know, you're walking around like, oh, you know, Gia would love that. And Rocco would, I'll get Rocco this. You don't have that. You just literally go off your list and you order it and they deliver it. And it's fantastic.
I will have to try that because I mean, I actually am one of those weird people. I love grocery shopping, but when my kids come with me, it's always, they sneak things into the cart.
Of course.
And they disappear when I go through the checkout line, which can be good and bad because I find what they get. If I'm paying attention, I just take it out. Like, I didn't want that.
Yeah, I cannot stand grocery shopping.
Well, I'll do it for you. But I've only ordered from Uber Eats one time, and it was pizza, Boss Bitch Pizza in Tampa, because that's really the only way you can get it. But I have mixed feelings about it.
Yeah.
I think I need to try it for myself. But this is the thing. I work in a restaurant that has Uber Eats. And I've just had bad experiences with it. And it's mainly been some of the drivers. One time, I'll never forget, there was a guy that came in to pick up an order. And he was so rude and demanding. And I said, it's going to be ready in about 5 minutes. Well, I was pouring wine that were for a server to take out to a table. He took one of the glasses of wine and took a sip out of it. I was mortified. I couldn't believe and I was like,
well,
what are
I mean,
you
at least
doing?
It didn't lick anyone's shoe or, you know, carton of ice cream.
But think about it, though. I mean, it really bothered me. Like, what are you doing? Because I thought you were pouring me a glass. I said, you're an Uber driver. Why would I be pouring you a glass of wine?
I have one of the best Uber Eats stories on the planet. So I had ordered a calzone from a place on, I think it was Davis Island or Harbor Island. And I had worked out that day. I was exhausted. And it was probably like 8 o'clock at night. I had my back patio doors open because Stella likes to go in and out. And
you have to clarify who Stella is.
Oh, Stella's my dog.
Not your girlfriend.
No, yeah.
Stella, that sounded a little funny.
Yeah, my girlfriend likes to walk in and out of the house all the time.
With you? You never know.
Yeah. So Stella is my dog. So I apparently just I had fallen asleep on the couch because it had taken so long for it to get there. I was watching a movie and I just apparently just fell asleep. I woke up to paramedics standing over my couch doing a sternum rub going, sir, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm literally on my couch with my comforter, with my bed pillow. Apparently the Uber driver he knocked on the door and I didn't answer. So he called 911. I'm like, wow, that's dedication. And I got my calzone at the end of the day.
That's hysterical.
Oh yeah. When I opened my blinds, I mean, there was a fire truck, an ambulance, and two fire trucks, an ambulance, and a cop car. Like, and I'm like, really, could you bring more attention to my house? Like, there's no point to that.
Did you tip them? The Uber driver?
I did. Cause you go on the app and rate. I'm like, yeah.
Like, he tried to save your life. That was a little bit of
it's a little aggressive, but the commitment was there.
Oh man.
Yeah. Only me.
Oh no, I'm going to give Uber a try. Uber Eats a try. I use Uber all the time, but Uber Eats, I need to try it. I don't know. I'd rather go out to a restaurant and experience it as it's supposed to be.
Me too.
Yeah. So I can't really judge it. It's just from me working in a restaurant, and it depends. Some restaurants have staff that does nothing but Uber, which is how it should be.
Yeah,
I'm a big believer in that. You can't try to do Uber and other things at the same time, and it can't take precedence over the customers that are in the building.
I am we can wrap this up, but I am shocked. I want to meet the people that get McDonald's through Uber Eats.
Yeah, I know.
Like what level of laziness can you drop to that you're trying to make fast food faster?
Well, where I work, I had somebody order a side of fries. That's it. A side of fries.
How hungover do you have to be? That's what it is. It's I'm too hungover to get out of my house. I need something greasy.
But I would get it from McDonald's if anything.
Yeah.
They have pretty good fries.
They do have pretty good fries.
I have to say, love those fries.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. Well, anyway, Kurt, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, you're welcome.
It was nice to chat with someone who's been in the industry like I have.
The smelly onion kid.
The smelly onion kid. Yeah. I have a hard time cutting onions. I have to put goggles on. I'm not kidding.
Oh God.
My eyes go crazy. But anyway, well, thank you, Kurt. Once again, I hope you enjoy your weekend and don't pass out and order Uber.
Fell asleep. There's a difference.
Well, you never know. I got you. I'm kidding. Yes, I'm excited for the weekend. I can't wait to go do my first.
Yeah, enjoy your run.
Longer race since my injury back in January. So yeah, I haven't done anything more than a 5K. So this will be a test for me, and I hope I can do it without any pain because I've got a lot more coming. A lot more.
Have fun with that.
Yes, I know. And I'm really looking to do some races in other parts of the country this year. There's one in Memphis in December I'm looking at. I don't know. I think it'd be kind of cool to drive up there. I've never been.
Yeah.
I need to get out of Florida. I need to do a food trip somewhere. Memphis would be good. Nashville is another one.
All right. Maybe we can take a poll and see, have the listeners vote on where you should go.
Well, it's got to be somewhere on the East Coast.
Well. Then
somewhere
there
I
you
can
go.
Drive
put,
on a quick
put the parameters and get the survey out.
I will do that. Well, Kurt, thanks again, everyone. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, a new episode comes out every week on whatever platform you love to download your podcasts. I prefer radioinfluence.com. I find lots of favorites there. And if you guys ever want to hear lots of talk about Tampa Bay and restaurants, I actually am very fortunate that I get to co-host with Mr. Ian Beckles for Flavor of Tampa Bay. We've got a lot of great stuff coming up. We'll be visiting some local restaurants in Tampa and chatting with some local chefs. So if you guys live in Tampa, you definitely want to tune in to Flavor of Tampa Bay, which also comes out every week on radioinfluence.com and everywhere else that you like to download your podcasts. Have a great week, everybody.
This is a Flavor of Tampa Bay with Ian Beckles and Tracy Guida Quick Fix on Radio Influence Tampa Bay.
Myself, I remember going all the way through college, not liking coffee, and then getting to, you know, playing here in Tampa Bay my rookie year, and Broderick Thomas said, I'm going to get a cafe con leche. And I go, what's that? He says, it's a Cuban coffee. Mm-hmm. before the game, and I was like, well, let me get one. You know, I was feeling a little tired. And so he got me a Cafe Con Leche, and it turned me out. Like, first of all, I was wigged out. Like, I was on fire. And then it became a ritual. I needed a Cafe Con Leche before the game. Right. Then I started to need two Cafe Con Leches before the game. And now we could say I'm sprung. But like I said, it's not something that, you know, I need. But there's a lot of people that, I mean, it's serious. You take away their coffee, like their lives change. Yeah.
I'm the worst.
Grumpy, headaches.
I'm not really grumpy. I just don't want to talk to anybody. But I'm not.
Well, that's being grumpy.
Well, not really. I just.
Okay. So you're just not going to talk to anybody.
I find that my eyes don't fully open until I've had coffee. It sounds weird. But my son knows better now when, you know, he brings me coffee in the morning. He literally will walk it into my room. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. He doesn't want to see the mean Tracy without her eyes open, not talking to anybody. Right. That's the mean one there.
Flavor of Tampa Bay with Ian Beckles and Tracy Guida can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RITampaBay.com.